Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Creepy Experiences at a Resident Facility by Creepy Cryptid 1969. I worked as a licensed nursing assistant, or LNA, for this nice resident facility in Concord, New Hampshire. The first year I worked there, I volunteered to work a night shift after a long day shift because we were short-staffed. After all the residents went to bed, all the LNAs gathered on the floor lounge to get our books done and up to date. We were in there for quite a while when a light went off at the end of the hall. Knowing that this resident likely needed the restroom, I rushed to her side. When I entered, I saw a black floating mist above her. She was hysterical, pointing at the mist and saying that it was here to get her. I'm not a religious person, but I wanted to calm her, and I knew I could not acknowledge the mist above her. It's not unusual for these kinds of strange things to happen, in these types of facilities, at least. I turned off the light, and I held her hand. We prayed. The mist vanished. I calmed her down and stayed with her until she went back to sleep. I creeped out of her room and went back to the lounge. I reported what I saw to the others, but we cannot report it in our books. I found out that this mist had been seen in several rooms on the night shift for weeks. For another experience, I was working with a night shift LNA that volunteered to work the day shift on my floor. I was friends with him outside of work, as we were both riders. It was getting to the end of our shift, and we had brought our residents to the bathroom and readied them for the activities that took place in the basement where most of the administration was located. The other LNA and I brought our last residents to the activity, and we were walking back to the elevator. We weren't walking the stairs, even though it was just one flight up. It was a long day. We had someone walk out of the bathroom ahead of us and went around the corner to the elevator. I holler, "Hey, hold the elevator." We were only seconds behind this person. We turned the corner, and there was no one there. The other LNA and I just looked at each other. There was no place that this person could have gone. It was a dead end. I asked if I was going crazy, and did they see that person? The other LNA agreed. Where did they go? It took forever for these elevators to go from floor to floor, and at this time of day, there were a ton of visitors and changes of shifts. The elevator would take longer to get down to the basement at this time of day. one of our residents, turned 100 years old, and she had called me in to read a letter she received from the President of the United States. This was George W. Bush at the time. I had a few days off from work. When I returned, I heard the awful news that she had left us in her sleep. The nurse on duty on that floor in our staff meeting read a note that her alarm light kept going off. Just then, the panel showed a light going off in that room. I thought that it was the roommate. I volunteered to go see what she needed. I entered the room and the roommate was nowhere to be found. The light was coming from the empty bed of the resident that had just passed. I shut it off, thinking that it was a fluke. After that, it seemed to keep going off minutes after you would shut it off. I volunteered to go to the empty top floor where we kept extra supplies to get a new plug. I came back down and I replaced the plug. But before I left the room, the light went off again. I removed the plug, but forgot the failsafe that if you remove the plug for any length of time, the light would go off. Just then I asked the nurse, "Did anyone leave the window open after she passed?" The nurse looked at the note. "No, no one did that." It's not unusual that after passing in a residential facility, you open the window. It's believed that it allows the spirit of the deceased to escape. I reattached the plug and opened the window. At the end of my shift, I closed it. The light never went off for the rest of my shift after I opened the window. The next day, there were no reports of that light going off.
Gettysburg Hotel by Fourth Degree Night. Back in 2020, I decided to take my family on a trip to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. I love history and love reading everything about the Civil War. Now, Gettysburg is supposed to be a very haunted place, so you would expect to see things out in the battlefield, cemeteries, and old buildings. The following, though, happened at our hotel. Upon checking in, I asked the staff about laundry facilities, as we didn't arrive directly to Gettysburg, but landed in Richmond and visited a bunch of battlefields along the way. I tend to pack light, so by the time we arrived in Gettysburg, we needed to wash some clothes. This evening, we got back to our hotel rather late. I had asked the hotel if it was still okay to do laundry, as there was a sign that said no laundry after, I think, 8 p.m. or something. The woman at the front desk said it was fine because there was no one staying in the rooms near the laundry room. I had to run back to the room to gather my laundry and then back to the front desk because I ran out of quarters. So by the time I started laundry, it was well past 9 p.m. The hotel only had one washer and dryer, so rather than running back over to my room, I was looking up things to do the next day and looking at my phone watching videos. I had my body facing the washer and dryer, so off to my left-hand side was the interior hallway that led to the other rooms and the double doors to the outside. The noise from the washer was a bit loud when you were in the room, so when I also had my clothes in the dryer, it was even louder. I was only paying attention to my phone, not looking down the hallway. However, I heard a door open and close. I didn't look, and just assumed someone was in the hallway. In my peripheral vision, I saw a shadow walking towards me at the very end of the other hallway, so I poked my head up and turned to look down the hallway, totally expecting to see another guest or hotel employee. I turned and saw that there was no one there. I just assumed maybe they went into a room. But I remembered the hotel staff telling me no one was staying near the laundry room. Everybody was in the more central part of the hotel. You also needed a hotel key card to get in from the outside, so it wouldn't have been a random person off the street. I turn and go back to looking at my phone, facing the washer and dryer. A few minutes later, I heard a loud boom from down the hallway. It sounded like metal poles falling over or something. I jumped up and looked down the hallway, but again, saw nothing. As I started transferring some laundry into a bag, I saw someone down the hallway again, so I turned to get a better look, and the lights were dim, and no one was there. I started to feel very uneasy, like someone was staring at me. To make matters worse, I had to wait 30 more minutes for this load to finish. I started facing the hallway rather than the washer and dryer. I can't tell if my eyes are playing tricks on me, maybe a little tired from the trip or what, but I keep expecting someone to pop out or jump out and attack me. I eventually walk out into the hallway to make sure no one was there. I looked around and it's just an empty hallway, and the outer doors leading to this part of the hotel are closed. As soon as the last of my laundry finished drying, I packed it all up in another bag and got out of there as quickly as I could. Now that all the machines are off and I can hear clearly, just as I get to the door leading to the outside, I hear footsteps. I turned, thinking someone was walking up on me, but again, nothing. I left that part of the hotel and made it back to my room. My wife looked at me with an expression begging to know what just happened to me. All I said was, "Well, I totally believe all these stories about Gettysburg being haunted."
It's tax season, and by now, I know we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. Here's another one. 1 in 4 honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by another good number, the $1 Million Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Don't face identity theft and financial losses alone. There's strength in numbers with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection for tax season and beyond. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I just had the bejesus scared out of me the other night by Blonde Dambition. I'm still trying to process something that happened to me a few nights ago. I had woken up hungry and decided to get a bowl of cereal. It was about 2 or 3 a.m. My husband and I live with my mother because she has severe short-term memory loss. While she can function fine day to day, she can't live by herself because she can't remember to pay bills and manage other daily responsibilities. I moved in about 8 years ago while my dad was still alive. He had dementia, and they both needed our help. He passed in 2022, but we stayed on. By that time, my mom started having her own issues. The house is 2 stories. When you're in the living room, facing the kitchen, which is the direction the furniture is all facing, The stairs to the second floor are on the right. I was sitting in the recliner eating my cereal and watching some TV when I heard my mother call my name, plain as day. It sounded like she was standing on the second story landing, which is out of sight unless you walk to the foot of the stairs. Her hearing wasn't great, so I called back kind of loudly. Yeah? I wasn't worried about waking up my husband because our bedroom was at the very end of the hall. The door was closed, and he slept with earphones in. He falls asleep listening to videos on YouTube, because if he doesn't, every little sound will wake him up. I also wasn't alarmed by the idea of my mom being up this late, or I guess this early. My husband got her a puppy 2 years ago, and while he's all of our dog, he's fiercely attached to her, and he sleeps with her. She often gets up in the middle of the night to take him outside because, since she no longer works or keeps a strict schedule, her sleeping patterns can be irregular. After calling back to her and not getting an answer, I called again louder. When I still didn't hear anything, I got up and I walked to the foot of the stairs, thinking she just couldn't hear me. She wasn't there. The door was shut, which was unusual because she usually leaves it cracked to let her cats, who sleep in her room as well, come out to access their litter boxes. I walked upstairs and opened her door. Her room was pitch dark. She was in bed. I woke her up when I opened the door. She sat part of the way up. I thought that she had laid back down, so I asked, "What did you need?" Her response made it clear that she hadn't been up recently. She was slurring and seemed confused, and I realized I had woken her up out of a deep sleep. Even the dog had been asleep because every time she got up, he got up with her. If she had been in the hall recently, so would he. That's when I realized she hadn't been the one to call my name. It couldn't have been my husband either. His voice is deep and could never be mistaken for hers. But I'm telling you, this was her voice. I did not imagine it. It was clear and fairly loud, just saying, "Heather." My cat Snow was downstairs with me at the time. She had been grooming herself, but when the voice called out to me, she stopped and looked up the stairs towards the voice. That further proved to me that it wasn't just in my head. After going back downstairs, scared, I tried distracting myself with watching TV again. I then heard what sounded like music faintly, as if a TV upstairs was on, but my mom's TV was off, and the one in my bedroom wasn't on either. My cats seemed scared as well. I don't know what it was. I grew up in this house, and although I've been hypersensitive to the paranormal for a long time, I've never had anything really happen here. As an empath, I can sense negative spirits or energy, but I've never felt anything here. All my experiences have occurred away from this house. The only thing that comes close is when my dad was alive and deep in his dementia. He always talked about seeing people here, nothing bad, but in particular, a man that he called Captain X. My dad said that Captain X was 10 feet tall and wore a top hat or something. My dad never seemed afraid of him, so my mom, husband, and I dismissed his hallucinations, which are a known symptom of his type of dementia. But years ago, my husband did see a shadow of a very tall figure. I thought that he was imagining it or sleepy, until it happened to me too. One night, around 3 a.m., I was in our room and I saw it on the wall. I didn't feel in danger, but I do remember the outline of the hat. It didn't last long. I woke my husband up, freaked out, and he just said, "That's Captain X. He's harmless. Go back to sleep." Other than that, and a time when my dad's electronic adding machine went off by itself, even though it was unplugged, nothing else happened here. At least, nothing negative.
My UFO Experience in 2007 by Nico. I went to an alternative high school. I almost dropped out, so I was offered the chance to make up credits by going to a wilderness program where we tended to chickens and a garden and went on an annual 10-day camping trip. In 2007, we went to the Sierra Nevada Mountains. Like most who share their stories, I feel stupid and skeptical to even recount it. But I've had aliens on the brain lately, and I've been into the creepy and occult since I was a kid. Incident 1. I can't recall exactly what time of the year it was, but it must have been just before summer break. Let's say it was around May or June. On one of the first nights, we stood around a campfire and reflected on the trip so far. I believe I was one of the only, if not the only person who caught what happened. We were in a valley next to a small river, surrounded by mountains. One of the mountains to the west of the campsite completely lit up with blue light, as if a blue studio light large enough to light the entire mountainside flashed for a second. There was no rain, no lightning, or a storm. The weather had been fairly sunny and clear. Incident 2. Nearing the end of the trip, we'd moved to another area to camp for the evening, and everyone was laid out in their sleeping bags. I've never been a good sleeper, chronic insomnia since childhood, so I laid in silence while most others snoozed, staring up at the clear, star-filled sky. I noticed the starry sky being blacked out by something that looked about the size of a frisbee. It appeared to be a very thin, lightweight disc that hovered and vibrated slightly, like the surface tension of a leaf on top of water. It would stay stationary in one spot for 10 to 20 seconds, before rapidly zipping to another spot in the sky. It seemed to be tracing a pattern, repeating this process a few times, before finally zooming off at a rapid speed into the sky and disappearing. I just watched a documentary about the Nimitz and USS Roosevelt sightings, and it sparked a memory. The way the crafts in the Nimitz footage were described, as hovering stationary before zipping off at high speeds to another stationary position, was the same exact behavior I saw in 2007. I'm highly skeptical. I'm more inclined to believe that the government does in fact have extremely advanced drone technology. But the dreamer in me wants to believe that it's aliens. I asked my mother if she'd ever seen a UFO, and she described exactly the same behavior in a sighting she had seen a few years ago, right here in our backyard in Northern California. Hovering as if observing, zipping to another spot, repeating the process, and so on, until zooming away. I'm a healthy mix of doubtful and hopeful that there are other forms of life out there. I know what I saw, and those two events in 2007 will always stick with me. I just find it strange that so many people have seen crafts, whether alien or made by the government, with the same movement patterns. Thanks for reading.
It's tax season, and by now, I know we're all a bit tired of numbers, but here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. Here's another one. 1 in 4 honest, hardworking, taxpaying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by another good number. the $1 Million Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Don't face identity theft and financial losses alone. There's strength in numbers with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection for tax season and beyond. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
My Experience in Washington's Cascade Mountains by Jack Spratt, 90. I have always loved the outdoors. I was fortunate enough to be born in the Great Pacific Northwest, specifically the Western Washington Cascades. My father and I spent much of my early years exploring the mountains, fishing, and hunting. There are parts of the Cascades that I know like the back of my hand. One of those places is called Goblin Creek, located up off of Highway 2. When I was a kid, we would drive up there to fish, shoot, or collect a specific type of rock. When cut in half and polished, these rocks would resemble a scenic view of mountains from within a cave. I don't recall the true name of these stones, we just called them picture rocks. My father's friend and neighbor owned an art gallery and mineral shop that used to be a church. If you've ever driven through Startup on your way from Sultan to Gold Bear on Highway 2, you might remember seeing a robot sculpture outside the shop. My dad built that. This is where we sold the stones for about $2 a pound. It was lucrative revenue for a preteen. We walked from the creek where we harvested these rocks to the dirt road, which wasn't particularly long, but it was long enough that you could potentially get lost if you didn't know your way. In all the years that we spent at this creek, I only ever saw two other people out there. One was a game warden who heard the gunshots from our target practice and tracked us down to ensure that everything was okay, and the other person, well, they're the subject of this story. When I was about 14, I distinctly remember hauling a backpack full of rocks up from the creek to my dad's truck. Along the way, I encountered a man who looked to be about 30 years old. We both seemed surprised to see someone else in this remote section of the mountains. As I got closer to him, he was heading down to the creek while I was heading up the road. He seemed increasingly startled, almost as if he were seeing a ghost. He didn't say anything as I passed. He just stared at me, like he was trying to figure out how to ask me something. After passing him, I remember thinking how much this guy looked like he could be in my family. The resemblance was uncanny. I continued up to the truck, dumped my load of rocks, and headed back down to the creek to meet my dad. When I arrived, I told him about the encounter and asked if he had seen the man. He said that he hadn't. The encounter stuck with me, vividly, over the years. Last year I was visiting my family, and I decided to head to Goblin Creek for nostalgic purposes. It had been about 15 years since I had last been there. Along the way, I found out that that road had washed out years before. But luckily, I knew of another way, up Jack Pass. I found the dirt road, parked where my dad used to park, and started walking through the woods down to the creek. Along the way, I saw something that shook me to my core. About halfway through the woods, I saw someone else coming up from the creek. It was a boy about 14 years old. He was wearing a backpack that looked heavily burdened. As we got closer, I grew increasingly confused and shocked. The boy looked exactly like I did at that age. I wanted to say something to him as he passed, but I couldn't find the right words. He passed me and kept going. I walked a little further and then stopped when it hit me. I remembered the encounter from my teenage years, and I realized I had just lived the other half of the experience. Both the man and the boy were me, separated by roughly 15 years. I turned around, and I ran back to try and catch up to the boy in the dense western Washington woods. I ran all the way back up the road where my truck was parked, but he was gone. The thing is, there was nowhere else for him to go besides the road, and I hadn't stalled long enough to lose him. He simply vanished. Curiosity got the best of me, so I hurried down to the creek, half expecting to find my dad fishing on the bank, 15 years younger. But I didn't find anyone. I ended up going home, deciding this experience was just too unbelievable to share with my friends and family.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet, the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's tax season, and by now, I know we're all a bit tired of numbers, but here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. Here's another one. One in four honest, hardworking, taxpaying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by another good number, the Million Dollar Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Don't face identity theft and financial losses alone. There's strength in numbers with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection for tax season and beyond. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
So why do you think the nursing assistants weren't allowed to write anything down that was strange that took place with the residents?
Well, the author actually addressed this. They said that you couldn't talk about anything that might give the facility a bad name. They said that someone was actually fired because they told the children of one of the residents that the facility had unexplained happenings.
It's funny because there are some states where sellers are legally required to disclose whether or not a property is haunted, like to any potential buyers, or at least I know in New York there is a law like that.
Yeah, there's a few states, and I was just reading about that. There was this case in New York that enforced the Ghostbuster ruling, as they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It allowed the buyer to rescind because they found out the place was haunted that they were buying.
Yeah. It was some weird thing where the seller first listed the house as haunted, but later tried saying it wasn't. And the courts were basically like, nah, no take backs, which legitimized the haunting itself, at least legally.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't let this happen again. Better write a Ghostbuster law.
Yeah, I love it, love it. You know, just the fact ghosts and UFOs are even a thing in legal documents makes me so happy.
Yeah, yeah. Recently, a former Pentagon UFO hunter addressed Congress just a few days ago talking about how the U.S. government hides evidence about UFOs. It was really fascinating. And, you know, this is just like a fascinating time. And, yeah. You know, it's weird that governments make laws about supernatural stuff.
Yep, I think that's a sign that something is there.
Yeah, yeah, I'm expecting them to start applying air traffic laws to aliens.
Oh man, you'd have so many disgruntled FAA employees and air traffic controllers. Imagine all the red tape and additional procedures and protocol that would come with legitimizing alien pilots. Like, not just UFOs, but aliens piloting these things.
Mm-hmm.
Who, mind you, probably find the concept of borders and private airspace extremely silly.
You don't think that aliens have their own turf up in space?
I don't know.
Yeah. I bet they roam around like packs of wolves using beacons or something to ward away rival aliens.
You know, I do like that. I'm sure they're up there like, oh, the green goblins better not see any of you meanie greenies around these parts ever again.
Stay 17,000 light years away from Tegiak or else.
Tegiak. I caught that. Only real cultists know.
Yeah, more should.
Yeah.
We'll just let the uninitiated Google that one.
Yeah, keeps that fun. A little gatekeeping never hurt anyone. Man, just a couple of days ago, the government came out with a new report documenting hundreds of more UFO cases we previously weren't made aware of.
Yeah, that was probably connected to the address that they did with Congress. I think that at least a dozen of those were truly unidentified in the sense that they have no leading theories, completely stumped.
Yeah, yeah. I just love how casual it is. The government is finally able to be like, yep, that's a UFO, but don't call them that.
Yeah, it's such a silly compromise. It actually infuriates me, but whatever.
Yeah.
The old timers and hyper-rationalists will always have a negative association with UFO. So if calling them UAPs is what it takes for a real discussion to be had, so be it, I guess.
Well, yeah, I'm with you. I'm actually fairly optimistic that we'll get something substantial from the government in our lifetime. Not this vague, we don't know what it is, so technically it's a UAP, but do not ask us about aliens.
Or else.
We'll spank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. So with the ghostbusting law, I'm generally not in favor of rules and laws, keep it simple, but I'd for sure want to know if the nursing facility I'm putting a family member in is haunted or not.
Yeah.
But ideally, I'd have the time and space and resources just to take care of my loved ones for myself.
Yeah. And then your house ends up being haunted anyway. So it makes no difference.
You know, it seems so cheesy and forced to claim my house is haunted because it's so convenient after my three loud bang story in the old house, keeping up some storyline for entertainment purposes. But I've definitely heard some things in this new house, just not much of a plot line to turn it into a story. A few nights ago, I heard a loud sneeze from the next room, but I was home alone.
Oh, wow.
Not Home Alone 2 Lost in New York.
Yeah. Sorry, but that was just a frogger living between your walls.
Shit. Well, well, that answers that.
Now, don't get me wrong. You are loved and you are heard.
Aww.
But you've also been debunked.
Yeah, I didn't follow proto. I get it.
At least you can still be on good terms with your realtor since you guys are neighbors.
True, yes. I can't exactly ask for a refund either if the house were haunted.
I don't know how these home buyers are proving that a house is haunted or not, though.
I think it sounds like a job for a couple of podcast hosts.
Oh, yeah. Could be a good TV show idea.
That too, that too. That actually makes me think of Sue Stanford, the ghost realtor.
What? Who is that?
She was on an episode of Nathan for You.
Okay.
One of the only times his expert business advice turned out for the better because she's still running with it and doing well from what I can tell. Such a good episode. He also makes a mechanic take a polygraph to ensure that he's not like upcharging his customers. I love that show. Definitely the top three for me.
Yeah, that was one of the few that I actually watched, the few episodes. But yeah, I got to watch that one again.
Yeah, there's like a 10-minute synopsis on YouTube. Just look up Nathan Ghost Realtor.
Link in the show notes.
If I remember to.
Yeah. Well, getting back to the story, strange and paranormal events are somewhat common with facilities that help people during the end-of-life stages. I'd never heard about the window thing, though.
Maybe walking through walls is something that spirits have to learn to do over time.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if, like, after death, we have to learn how to be a proper ghost, kind of like a toddler learning to walk or talk.
Yeah, I can see that. I just hope we don't have to wear ghost diapers.
Oh man, potty training in the spirit world sounds awful.
No, thank you. As much as I love food and sleep, I wish they were both completely voluntary activities. This is way off topic, but this is important to me. If I could never feel hungry again and not need food to survive, I think I'd opt in. Mm-hmm. As long as there aren't any weird cravings, I'd be fully content as some sort of culinary asexual.
Yeah, that's a tough call, though. Food is one of my few pleasures that I like to indulge in, but
yes,
it would be so convenient to not have to take time out of your day to refuel so many times over and over again every single day. It gets so old and I get so tired of eating all the same things, you know?
Yeah, no, it becomes a chore and a task, and I don't like those. But yeah, it's like the perfect analogy. We'd be electric vehicles that never need to be recharged.
Yeah.
Add in the whole sleep is biologically optional thing, and we could nearly double our perceived lifespan. And hey, what more precious of a resource than time?
Yeah, time, something we're going to get into. That's a good sell.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Hard maybe for me, as long as the option to eat and sleep is there and not totally removed.
That's less fun, but I'll accept it. So speaking of time, Jack Spratt's Washington story reminded me of 12 Monkeys.
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah, and it's a topic that's been covered in a lot of media over the years and real life accounts. It actually reminded me of this Hugh Jackman movie, The Fountain. It's very, very good.
Oh, I love that. I think that was this, I can't pronounce his name off the top of my head, but I think it was the same director as Requiem for a Dream and Pi.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Aronofsky.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Really good movie. A lot of people kind of have mixed opinions on it, but I loved it.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, time travel and time slips are so interesting, and I think it's extremely plausible.
Yeah, especially if you consider Einstein's ideas, like, you know, how time is more, what's the word, dynamic rather than fixed. But
yeah.
I don't know, it all gets really confusing at some point.
Yeah, if you investigate too deeply on the topic, you'll get a headache for sure, but I think time is definitely relative.
You know, I had this younger listener, probably 8 or 9, I hope I'm aging him correctly, but he came to my show in Sacramento with his dad, and he brought me this drawing that he did of the Let's Not Meet podcast artwork. Really cool kid. I asked him how long he had been listening to the podcast, and he told me, forever. And I asked him, like, how long? And he said, like 6 months, you know, or something close to that. And I was like, yeah, that's forever for him.
Yeah, for him, that is forever. And for us, 6 months is nothing. Time makes no sense. I think a lot of it has to deal with, like, when we're children, we view the world as more of a sense of wonder and mystery to, you know what I mean? And we don't have any sort of, like, chores and responsibilities and adult anxieties to concern ourselves with. So we can just essentially view the world as a sandbox to explore. And time isn't like a creeping thing for us. I say us, like in the present tense, like we're children, but
I know.
Yeah, I think it's because we have the excited anticipation of becoming an adult. Then, yeah, no, I'm done with this, but I agree.
No. Yeah, I get it. I get it.
I'm so worn out.
Time slips like the one in Jack's story, they've been documented for years. I hope that we get more of these stories, and I want to hear more about the phenomena.
Yes, absolutely. Good stuff.
Yeah, good stories this week. Anyways, thank you everybody for sharing your stories and for listening. If you do have a story to share and you want to hear it on the show, send it to stories@oddtrails.com and join our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails. If you want to hear ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate, make sure you sign up through a browser like Safari, Firefox, or Chrome if you're an iPhone user, instead of signing up through the Apple stores. Patreon app if you want to save 30%. I hate that we have to say that every time, but it really helps people out, I guess. And finally, make sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, like Let's Not Meet, the Old Time Radio Cast, and Cryptic Encounters at CrypticCountyPodcasts.com. We'll see y'all next week, everybody. Stay safe.
Goodbye.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money and refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.